Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. My studio right now feels like a meat locker. It is so cold. I do like the cold. I like the heat, too. I did a show this is actually a little while back, on the myth, the bad science, the twisting of do you burn more calories when you exercise in the cold? If you haven't heard that one, I would argue it's a great one. They all are. And it's a perfect example of twisting the science, making things, actually, it's not even making things more complicated. It's twisting the science. It's just inaccurate. And that drives me crazy. And I know the people are reaching out to me saying they love when I get worked up. And I try not to get worked up. I have this crazy, you know, I hear my mom's voice in my head, you know, if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. And I still totally agree with that. So I struggle with the way in which to combat the bad information, the garbage, the complexity that's out there. And usually it's just garbage. And then there's the twisting of the science, like the cold, exercising in the cold. And then there's just making it complicated for no reason or the wrong reasons. And so let me just vent a little bit to open the show, because I saw something today, and this is an account. It's information that is generally really good. This Instagram account, really good, really smart people. It's so rare in this business that you have that, because it's really hard to make a living with a degree in exercise physiology, even nutrition, to make a living in nutrition and telling the truth. You know, I got my certification in sports nutrition, and I actually started a second master's in nutrition way back when. And I realized that, no, that is not something that I want to try to do full time. I want the knowledge, but to study the chemistry and all this stuff that to me is helpful, and I love knowledge. But when it comes to changing people's behaviors, it's overkill. It's overkill. And so this goes to this account that, again, the highest regard for the people who run this account, nutritionists, but they had a post. The previous post was about making things too complicated. And why do we do that in nutrition? Totally agree. I thought it was a great post. The next day, which was today, a post about a calorie is not a calorie. And this long post about essentially the thermic effects of food and absorption rates and all this kind of stuff, which scientifically is true, but is meaningless to you when it comes to weight loss and weight gain. And so, what I have learned and believe over the years is, again, very few people who have the knowledge. And of those who do, I think in my gut that there are those who are just super smart and don't know how to put it out there for the masses. And I think that is infinitesimal. And then the others just want to sound smart. They want to actually show you what they learned and all that money they spent in their studies. But that's not helpful. It's not helpful. Here's my litmus test. I read that post. And what I wanted to say is, first of all, really long. So, you know, 5-10 minutes for most people to read. What was the takeaway? Nothing. Confusion. And another person who just read the headline, how many people just read it and goes, oh, a calorie is not a calorie again. And I don't know if I want to say to their credit, but in one of the comments, they followed it up with, oh yeah, but a calorie is a calorie. And you know what? This reminds me of the person who called me out or tried to call me out saying, when I said you can't lengthen a muscle, to do that, you have to detach it and change the origin and the insertion point. This long-winded rebuttal online, and then essentially said, but he's right. So that's where you're just, I don't know, posting to post, writing to write, and sounding smart to sound smart, but that's not my goal. My whole point is I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. I want to make it as palatable as possible. Yes, I go on like I am doing now, sometimes, oftentimes, but it's for a reason. I get worked up and I get passionate about it But at the end of the podcast, you will always have the best information with no bias other than to have actionable advice that you can understand and utilize right away to live your best life. So what's today's show about? Long way around. You've lost the weight. You've lost the weight. How do you keep it off? And this is such a perfect topic. And I'm going to talk about the National Weight Control Registry. Why? Because what is the greatest, one of the greatest ways we learn, myself included? If you want to be successful at something, what do? You follow people that have achieved it. And that's something that is so problematic in today's society. We have all these coaches, and we'll leave it at coaches, who are coaching you to do something they've never done themselves. Never done it, never studied it, but they're out there. And that goes for exercise and nutrition more than anything. They might have good genetics. They might be 20 and have good genetics. I actually did see a phenomenal tweet and I had to reply to it. Actually, no, one of you listeners, thank you, by the way, shared it, tagged me in it. And it was a successful entrepreneur who said that they don't want to take fitness advice from a 20-year-old that, you know, they had abs at 20 as well. They want it from someone who's, you know, 48 with a mortgage and kids and on and on and on. And I agree, you want someone with experience. And then when you have that person with experience, you want them to give you the cliff notes, stuff you can use, not make it complicated. Because it's not. It's about the behaviors. It's about changing behaviors, finding what you like to do. So we're going to look, I'm going to tell you about and tell you what it's about and break it down really quickly. The National Weight Control Registry. People who have not only done it, not only lost weight, but they've kept it off. And I'm going to read you the description of what it's all about and kind of the breakdown of the people involved. And then they have five, I added in a sixth, one study that summarizes it perfectly, what these people do after they have lost it to keep it off. Because how many of you have lost it? So many. But it's the keeping it off that's the hard part, right? So that's why I added in one, because I think we're leaving one out. It's not a critique of this study per se, but it's something that needed to be added in. All right, quick break. When we come back, going to get right into it. The National Weight Control Registry and six ways to keep off the weight once you have lost it based on science and many, many people who have done it. We'll be right back. Right. So the National Weight Control Registry. So many of the topics that I have brought to you, many of the studies are based exactly on this. This is the type of information I bring to you. Why? Let me read you the description of what the National Weight Control Registry is. It was established in 1994 by Rena Wing, PhD from Brown Medical School, and James O. Hill, PhD from the University of Colorado. It is the largest prospective investigation of long-term successful weight loss maintenance. Given the prevailing belief that few individuals succeed at long-term weight loss, the National Weight Control Registry was developed to identify and investigate the characteristics of individuals who have succeeded at long-term weight loss. Remember, I brought you David Garcia. Real person who had lost over 140 pounds, kept it off for 10 years. That's what this weight control registry is filled with, David Garcia's. And if you didn't listen to that, haven't heard that episode yet, real people. I bring you the science, the scientists, the PhD people, and the real people, because both are super important. All right. Let me continue reading the description here. The National Weight Control Registry is tracking over 10,000 individuals who have lost significant amounts of weight and kept it off for long periods of time. Detailed questionnaires and annual follow-up surveys are used to examine the behavioral and psychological characteristics of weight maintainers, as well as the strategies they use in maintaining their weight loss. Could there be any better resource for you, for us? Science, PhD level researchers, and people who have done it. Not your, you know, best friend, not your enemy, not your sister-in-law who went on a fad diet. 10,000, over 10,000 people who have lost weight and kept it off. It is, as we know, easy, relatively easy. It's painful, but easy to lose weight, right? Deprivation diets. Every diet works. And every diet works because at the end of the day, it is fewer calories. But how do we lose it and then keep it off? That's what this whole perfect registry is for. Amazing. All right. So before I get into their five reasons, and then I added my sixth, I'm going to read you some more characteristics of the registry. Okay. So you have even greater insight into who these people are. Okay. 80% of the people in the registry are women and 20% are men. Find that interesting. Topic for another day, but you're going to know the breakdown. The average woman is 45 years old and currently weighs 145 pounds, while the average man is 49 and currently weighs 190. Registry members have lost an average of 66 pounds and kept it off for 5.5 years. That's an average. Okay, 66 pounds. So you're going, well, 145, they were heavier. And you'll hear that they lost, some people lost way more. Okay. 98% of registry participants report they modified their food intake in some way to lose weight. 94% increased their physical activity, with the most frequently reported form of activity being walking. And I'm going to stop there because we're getting into the reasons here. And those were two of the ways. But let's start by saying this, and this is confusing, but it's not. Diet, healthy eating is how you lose the weight. Exercise is what keeps it off. I just summarized, you know, 90% of what these studies, along with the other points I'm going to give you, but that is, in a nutshell, what people do. It is exponentially more difficult to lose 600 calories through exercise than it is to keep it out of your mouth. All of these short cliches, whatever you want to call them, that I give you all the time, that I've been saying for decades, are for a reason. They're based on science. They're based on things like this. But that being said, it is all connected. And that therein lies the rub. In other words, exercise can also help with hunger. And you can't do just one without the other. But when you are starting out, it is not exercise in and of itself that is going to get that weight off. It is simple math. I've brought it to you so many times. If you run a marathon, 26 times 100, 26 miles, you generally burn about 100 calories a mile. A pound is 3,500 to gain or lose. So you are 900 calories short running a marathon to losing a pound. And I know that you go, well, then I'm going to give up. There's no reason to do it. No, yes, there is. And that's why we break it down to 500 calories a day, 250 through exercise, 250 through eating better. 7 days a week, that's a pound. It also shows you that losing 2 pounds in a week of true fat is not as easy as it sounds, or is not as insignificant. And 2 pounds is 100 pounds in a year. 1 pound is 50 pounds in a year. For those of you who have a significant amount of weight to lose, would you be happy with 50 pounds in a year? 100 pounds in a year? I think so. But never forget, and I will get to it with more specificity, changing your dietary habits is what gets the weight off. First and foremost, for all those reasons I just said and many more in preceding podcasts, but exercise is one of the top things, I will tell you, that keeps it off. All right, so let's get right into it. Just one study. It's all we need here. It's all there in the abstract. It's all there. I just bring you, you know, you guys don't want to read all these studies and go through and everything. I love it. And here you go. So 2005 American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, July 2005, long-term weight loss maintenance. That's it. That's the title. Doesn't get any simpler than that. And here is the abstract in all 5 points are in there. And then I'm going to add the 6th and we're going to go over them quickly. Here's the abstract. There is a general perception that almost no one succeeds in long-term maintenance of weight loss. How great a start is that, right? However, research has shown that approximately 20% of overweight individuals are successful at long-term weight loss when defined as losing at least 10% of initial body weight. That's important, right? Losing at least 10% of initial body weight and maintaining the loss for at least 1 year. The National Weight Control Registry provides information about the strategies used by successful weight loss maintainers to achieve and maintain long-term weight loss. So I read that in the description as well, but this is in a study that they did as well. National Weight Control Registry members have lost an average, as I said, 33 kilograms. So we had it in pounds before and maintained that loss for more than 5 years. To maintain their weight loss, members report, and I just broke this down into 5 points, all in the abstract. But let me add my first one in. And this is a little counter to what they have in their information. So the one I added in was how you lose the weight. It is so important because so many of you people who are listening have done it in the past. You've done it in the past, but you did it with a fad diet, with restrictive diets in a really short amount of time. Now, to give you all the information, because I always do, these people who lost weight, some did it fast and some did it slowly. They even specify one person or over a decade and more. So I think it was 14 years, one in particular. But there are people in this registry who lost it fast. But the research shows, and just your experience illuminates the fact that when you lose it super fast, when you lose water and muscle and do a diet that you're not going to do for a lifetime, the maintenance after that is really hard. And I know that many people say, well, I'm going to do this diet as a reset, as a start, to jumpstart. Well, that jumpstart almost never works. I can count on one hand the number of people in my entire career in this industry who did a restrictive fad diet and are still successful. So that's the one I'm adding in. Losing it slowly. Learning the foods you like. I'm going to come back to that. Adding in the exercise a little bit. Small changes over time. Excessive moderation. And I know that's not what you want to hear. And I know that's not what all of these fad diets and all the commercials are promising you. But that's why so few people are successful. I'm going to give you the other 5 to help you absolutely, you know, once and for all, maintain that weight loss. But you have to start by doing it the right way to begin with. If you start with a flawed approach, the chances of success are infinitesimal. And if they weren't, I wouldn't be having this conversation and this registry wouldn't be as amazing as it is. Okay, so there you go. You know, it's very rare that you go on the cabbage diet, the carrot diet, you name it, you fill in the blank. Even intermittent fasting, things like that, it is very rare that it continues after, for good reason. So, eating healthier, exercising more, doing all those kind of things, in addition to the 5 right here, that's the secret. Okay. Secret. I hate that term. Every time it comes out of my, it's so hard not to. Those are the ways. No secrets. It's right here in the abstract. We'll be right back. All right. So number 1 for them, but I gave you 1. So let's call it 2. Engaging in high levels of physical activity. And you go, oh my gosh, forget it, Tom. Oh, the real shocking. No. Walking, low levels, they're just consistent. Changing your diet gets the weight off walking every day or most days of the week is all you need to do to help maintain that. That is one of the top things. I'm going to give you four more, but that is one of the top things that these people have in common. You go, that is so not surprising. It kind of is. Because again, it's not CrossFit. It's not high intensity interval training. It's just being consistent. For so many reasons that I've talked about on so many other podcasts, the mental, the hormones, the feeling good about yourself, the self-efficacy, all that stuff. But that is one of the top things all of these people have in common. They do about an hour. They move for an hour a day. Doesn't matter how you move. Doesn't matter how hard you move, according to this registry and this select group of people. And walking was the primary way. So you want to walk for an hour, you know, half hour in the morning, half hour in the evening. You want to move. You want to do, you know, 20 minutes of something, 20 minutes of something else, and 20, final 20 of something else. We were meant to move, people. We're not meant to just stand and sit. And so this is great news. And it's not one way. I'm not saying you have to, you know, run, no, or you have to do something you don't enjoy. You need to do about an hour of something every day. Now, of course, you've heard this. But going for an hour-long walk at lunch, David Garcia, back to him, 140 pounds, kept it off for over 10 years. Walking was one of the top ways and continues to be that he does it too. This is great news, everybody. How much does walking cost? Is it thousands of dollars? No, get a good pair of shoes and go. Walk your dogs. Walk with your family. And when you do, it makes a difference. Walking after you eat. Incredible benefits above and beyond your typical walk. Okay, so that's it. You go, that's not surprising. Here's some other ones, though. And these are really helpful. They eat a low-calorie, low-fat diet. Okay, not this one right away. But it's not a crazy keto, anything like that. No, they're not doing that. It's lower calorie and generally lower fat. But low calorie is what matters the most. Lower, fewer calories and burning some more. There we go. We're back to that excessive moderation. Number three, whole podcast on this. They eat breakfast regularly. When you hear about how people keep weight off and they eat breakfast, it's from this. This is one of the primary sources of that. So for those of you, I've never understood, and correct me if I'm just crazy, but if you have weight to lose and you don't eat breakfast, and I ask you maybe to change your behavior, and you say, well, I'm not hungry in the morning. Well, obviously it becomes problematic later in the day. And our brains and our bodies need fuel to work optimally. And truthfully, you're not working optimally if you go for long periods of time, especially every day, without eating breakfast. Now, yes, there are benefits to fasting for not eating for certain periods of time, but not if you're not eating well when you do eat, not if you're not exercising, not if you're not moving. So eating breakfast. You know, I give you these podcasts not just out of nothing, out of the ether. They're based from studies, science, and now you know exactly where much of this information comes from. Number four, they self-monitor their weight. They generally weigh themselves, not every day, but at least once a week. So they know how it's going and they're accountable to themselves. You don't have to tell anybody, it's for you. And finally, and this is really, really important, and I'm going to qualify it a little bit, they maintain a consistent eating pattern. So I've talked about how people who lose weight and keep it off tend to eat the same things, not the same things amongst all of them. It's not like they're all eating eggs and they're all, well, there are certain foods that they tend to also have in common, but it's that they know what they're eating. They know what works for them, that there's not a huge variation in their diets, right? We all know these people. I'm one of these people. You know, I have like three breakfasts that I tend to rotate. When you control what you eat, you know what works for you. You know what works for you when it comes to hunger, and you know what works for you when it comes to calories. And this is why eating out can be problematic if you're eating foods and you have no idea how many calories are in it. And so if you stick with like fish and chicken and salads and tofu, whatever, you know, you're into food-wise, when you eat generally the same thing, that's what these people do. And that just makes common sense. And I know that I have found, and this is why I keep saying to you, you find the foods that you enjoy. And I have such great news to finish this all out in a second. But you're finding the foods that you enjoy. That's why I added in number one, that you don't want to lose this weight too quickly, that you spend those weeks finding the foods that you like. Is it oatmeal? Is it eggs? Is it some type of salad? What's the dressing you put on there? How much? I have certain foods that just make me hungrier. I've talked about Cheerios. I realize I don't eat those things anymore. Grew up with Cheerios. Now, I have five brothers and my mom, you know, I was second oldest. First two, we got the plain Cheerios with wheat germ put on it. And the last couple kids had, you know, Fruit Loops and stuff like that. Anyone from a big family knows how the last couple kids got to do whatever they want. But if I eat something like that, I know that that food does nothing for me as far as hunger. But that's me. So that's why it's so individualistic. That's why what works for your, you know, sister-in-law, Kelly, might not work for you. But when we have a registry of over 10,000 people who have been successful at doing what you're trying to be successful at, let's take those things in common and put them into place for us. Eat breakfast, weigh yourself once a week, couple times a week, every day, whatever works for you, without being obsessive about it, by the way. And I always have to qualify this thing about eating the same thing. That's first level. And that's really important because we want to be a healthy weight. Second, I call this actually third level because it's so up there. If you can get to this point where variation while maintaining your weight, eating so many different healthy foods, just like exercise with food, we want as much variation as possible. But if you're already eating healthy foods, if you're maintaining a healthy weight, I had so many clients like that over the years. The ones who were successful was like, oh, I have a chicken sandwich at lunch. I have this at dinner. And there's not a lot of variation. I'll take it. I'll push them and say, hey, why don't you try this other, you know, fruit or, you know. And if you implement and add those to your diet slowly, you can figure it out. You're not going to suddenly be 5 pounds up. And that's why you weigh yourself. All of these things are connected. And so let me leave you with the great news. I love this. And this was in the abstract. So important. I've said this to you so many times, and it's probably one of the hardest things for you all to comprehend, to believe. And I quote right from this study. Moreover, weight loss maintenance may get easier over time. After individuals have successfully maintained their weight loss for 2 to 5 years, the chance of longer-term success greatly increases. Continued adherence to diet and exercise strategies, low level of depression and inhibition, and medical triggers for weight loss are also associated with long-term success. National Weight Control Registry members provide evidence that long-term weight loss maintenance is possible and help identify the specific approaches associated with long-term success. This is everything my show's about. This is everything my career is about. This is how I start my newest book, The Micro Workout Plan. You have to believe you have control. You have to believe you can do it. It's not your fault. You're listening to the wrong information. You're following the wrong diets. You have people that either don't have the education experience, or if they're the rarity that does, they're making it too complicated for whatever reason. Not here. Not here. What movie is that from? The Hangover. Not here. Not in here. But that's the perfect way to end this. I'm going to give them to you one more time. And I understand like how you're like, are you kidding me that it's exercise? It's important. It's movement. You just got to think movement. You got to think what you enjoy. If you told me I had to sit still for 8 hours a day that I had to, I would be really angry. I'm telling you, find an hour and you don't have to make that continuous. 15, 15, 15, 15, 15, 30, 15. Everything in your life will get better. So number one thing, one of the top things they had in common, exercise, you know, hour a day, movement.
eating a low-calorie, low-fat diet, eating breakfast regularly, self-monitoring their weight, and maintaining a consistent eating pattern. And they have across weekdays and weekends. Second, third level is what I talk about, you know, when you can go off a little bit on the weekends. Most people can't at the start because they don't know the calorie count. They don't know the foods that work for them and you. Give it time. Find the foods you like. Lose that weight slowly because you can't lose it too slowly, 1 to 2 pounds a week. Add in a little more movement, but know that it's changing your eating patterns that loses the weight. It's exercise, moderate, consistent exercise that keeps it off. And yes, it's all connected. And all the other shows I do are to show you the nuances and the ways it is connected. Awesome. The National Weight Control Registry. Everything in my life that I have achieved was by watching someone, studying someone, emulating someone who had done it already. And ideally, not just one person, many people, because there can be people who have the genetics, have the other things that you kind of want to control for that, if that makes sense to you. But what better group to learn from than 10,000 plus strong people who have done it and continue to do it? There you go. You've learned something. You learned a bunch. You learned a lot. This is a really important show. Thank you for listening. If you want to reach out, Tom H. Fit is Instagram and Twitter, Tom H. Fit. Questions, comments, you can also go to fitnessdisrupted.com. Please follow the show. Whatever way you can connect to the show, greatly appreciated. Rate it if you can. Tell your friends. Micro Workout Plan is the most recent book. And remember, this is like, there's no bias here. I want to hear from people, and this is the greatest payback in my life. People who have read my books, listened to the podcast that I've worked with way back when, who have bettered their lives, who are feeling better, looking better, and they're going to live longer. That's my bias. That's it. Thank you for listening. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.